House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Tuesday, March 4th. I apologize for the late start. As you probably know, we were hung up on the floor hearing speeches and speeches on votes that were going to be 60 to nothing, but who am I to judge? So, Mr. Taylor.
Chair, members of the committee, we have an informational meeting here on justice of the peace courts, and we have Carl Myers, a municipal court judge in Kaiser and Jefferson, here to talk about them. And then we have David Corsi, Josephine County. I understand he's a retired lawyer from California, to talk about geographical limitations and justice of the peace courts. In RRS 51020, we have limitations of where they can be located. They cannot be located in the same city where a circuit court is sitting, with the exception of some of the smaller counties. So,
yeah, thank you. And I also, after speaking with Judge Myers, I think we will invite this back at the beginning of the 15th session, before early on, so that there will be a different panel up here, so we can have this information ahead of time before we do our deliberations. So thank you, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Carl Myers. I am a municipal court judge, but as many of you know, I also represent the justices of the peace in the legislative body, and that's why I'm here today. It's too bad that we don't have more folks here, because this is a topic, and it is a bit of a hot topic. Justice of the peace courts are often misunderstood. Many folks don't know what they do, and with the permission of the chair, I'd like to ask the panel a question. By a show of hands, how many of you have a JP court in your district?
We used to have two. Don't have any anymore.
How many of you have ever been in a JP court of any kind? To visit or to...
okay. I plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Well, and to try to keep the speeches short, because I know you've heard them all on the floor today, justice of the peace courts have been around in Oregon, and quite honestly in the United States, for a long time. Many of our founding fathers, or at least several of our founding fathers, were justices of the peace back on the East Coast. And we've had them here since before statehood. So they're an integral part of the justice system, and even predate circuit courts and district courts in this state. It used to be that every county had a justice of the peace court. But when the Oregon legislature in 1911 decided to institute district courts and circuit courts in every county, some of the counties decided to get rid of the justice courts because they were doing essentially the same thing in the same location as the district court was doing back then. And since at that point the counties were funding the circuit and district courts, there was it was a duplicative expense for duplicate work. And so many of the counties, Multnomah County and many of the counties in the valley, got rid of the justice court simply because the work was being done by the district courts. And, of course, again, the counties were paying for it, so they didn't want to pay twice. The jurisdiction of the district, that's kind of a background. There have been some changes along the way. One of the changes came when they got rid of the district courts and consolidated all the work in the circuit courts. Then there wasn't the division at the trial court level. And then some time ago, as many of you may remember, the state took over the courts from the counties, and that made a significant change in the interaction between the courts. I have two handouts for you. One is a table that shows all the counties that have courts, justice of the peace courts. It shows the number of courts that they have and the number of judges that staff those courts. We'll talk about what it takes to be a judge in the first place kind of later on, but I just wanted you to have an idea when we talk about the number of justice courts. There are more justice courts than there are judges, because several judges serve in several different courts in the county. No judge Every judicial justice of the peace district, and it may be countywide or part of a county, depending on how the county commissioners want to divvy up the work, but there can only be one judge per district. So you'll never have more judges than courts, but you can have more courts than judges, depending on that. Linn County, I wish Representative Olson was here, because Linn County has essentially three courts, and but one judge does them on a rotating basis. Several of the courts, as you can see, also perform the duties of the municipal court in an area. Malheur County and Tillamook County, for instance. I'm also told that the judge in Tillamook County also serves as a pro tem in circuit court in Tillamook County, so they have a great relationship over there. Now let's talk about the courts. The jurisdiction of a Justice of the Peace Court is throughout the county, or, if established by the county commission, a district within that county. And it has arisen in my municipal court before, but rivers that serve as a boundary between two counties, offenses that occur on that river can be prosecuted in either county. So that may be like between here and Polk, Polk County, or Marion and Linn County. The Justice of the Peace Court by law cannot be cited in a county seat where the circuit court regularly sits, and there are some exceptions, Tillamook County being one, and those east of the mountains were grandfathered in when the state took over the courts. The Justice of the Peace Court can handle small claims courts and civil matters up to $10,000 at issue, not more than. They cannot handle real property issues, false imprisonment issues, libel and slander issues, and malicious prosecution issues. They do handle FEDs, traffic, boating, wildlife, other minor violations, and the judges can perform weddings either during the court time or not, or off the clock. They have concurrent jurisdiction with the circuit court in the county in which they reside. Justices of the peace are elected for 6-year terms. They are nonpartisan positions. If a vacancy occurs, the governor can appoint a interim judge to fill out the term until the next election, circuit court judges. The judges must be a citizen of the United States. They must be a resident of Oregon for 3 years. They must reside in the judicial district in which they are going to serve for at least 1 year prior to the appointment. They need not be a member of the Oregon State Bar. They need not be a lawyer. But they need to get 15 hours of CLE credit, the same as lawyers do, every year, or 45 over 3, essentially, as lawyers do. So they're subject to the same CLE credits. Many of the non-lawyer-trained JPs have been to the Judicial College in Reno. Those of us who are members of the bar tutor them often in aspects, and some of the best JPs, quite frankly, are the non-lawyer JPs, because they, quite frankly, try harder. New courts, for a county to establish a new JP in their county, they must get legislative approval. Please be advised that JPs are not county courts. Some of the counties in eastern Oregon have county courts. Their governance courts, some of those county courts may still have some probate and juvenile jurisdiction, but they're not to be confused with JP courts, which are a different entity altogether. From my point of view, the advantages of a JP court are, first of all, they're not state-funded. No money goes into the operation of a JP court from the state. In most cases, the JP court is a more convenient venue for the parties. Often the defendant, or if it's a civil case, either both of the parties reside close to the courthouse or certainly closer to the courthouse than they do to the county seat where the circuit court is. Police officers tell me they much prefer JP courts because they are closer to where they typically work, so they don't have to go into the county seat to try a case. They can get in and out of court much faster because JP courts have much better control over their docket than circuit courts do because of the kinds of issues they handle. And so they are in front of the court maybe 10 or 15 minutes or whatever the trial would take instead of waiting for hours to get into the docket and off. So there's less waiting time. The docket is quicker, so the trials go trial quicker. The issues go to trial quicker. It is much less expensive to operate a JP court than a circuit court. The judges get paid less. Many of the judges that are JP judges only serve part-time and probably do not get PERS or any of the other benefits. They get an hourly or salary from the county but don't get many of the benefits. And so the cost of trial or the cost of justice at JP is far less. And quite frankly, it's been my opinion that circuit court judges don't like to try the kinds of cases that we try at the JP level. They don't like pro se cases because they take time and they're hard. They don't have the time because of the pressing docket in circuit court to spend the kind of time that it takes to effectively handle even traffic cases, where often you need to educate as well as find guilt so that the defendant doesn't reoffend. And we can do that at the local court level much better than they can at the circuit court. And circuit court judges have told me they don't like pro se cases because they just don't like, they're used to handling cases with lawyers, and it's much more efficient for them to have a lawyer present on both sides so they can get to the issue, get it done, and move it on. That's not true in the kinds of cases that JPs handle. So for those reasons, that's the summary of justice courts and kind of my 2 cents as to what value they serve. I'd be happy to respond to questions if I can.
Representative Krieger. This is Judge Meyer.
Yes.
You mentioned that a lot of the JPs are not lawyers and they try harder. We experienced the same thing on this committee.
First of all, I don't want to give you the impression that most of the JPs are non-lawyers. It's about 50-50. It may be even be less than that. And most counties will want to, and most people that vote for these elected people would like to have a legally trained person handling the court, but in some counties it is just not possible to find somebody who is willing to take the pay decrease. I mean, some of these judges are getting, I got an offer to pro tem in Polk County for $50 an hour. That doesn't even cover my travel time to and from, so some of these JPs are people who are willing to take on the job, they're willing to learn, they're willing to listen, and they feel that they must do a great good job for the justice system. They have their heart in it. The worst kind of judges, quite frankly, are the lawyers who come in that think they know it all and don't study off the bench. Only know what they get in their civil practice or whatever and have no idea as to what is going on. Most of the, I hate to say this, but most of the trouble that we've had with JPs and municipal court judges have come with lawyer-trained judges, not the...
I didn't understand that.
It's hard for me to say.
I just would say I've had taken people with like a written tickets to back in the old days, and I've seen some justice courts, and it seems to me that especially for a citizen who's not familiar with the court, the circuit courts are pretty intimidating to a lot of people. Depending, I know in Multnomah County they're very busy, and so you're just on a conveyor belt going through there, where in the justice court, last time I visited one was in Woodburn, and they were able to make it much more personal and not so intimidating. And so the citizen can come in without a lawyer and get their business done and get out.
We're community courts, Mr. Chair, and we try to be part of the community, and we try to reflect the community and not be a assembly line of justice, which we all know doesn't work.
Yeah. And I did. There was one young man who asked for a special leniency. He'd been given a ticket for going over 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. And the judge said, I hate motorcycles. I knew his day was not going to go well. You know, it's a substantial fine. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so the lawyers do outnumber the police officers today, as you know. So we want to be careful about that.
For 14 years, the chairs have been police officers.
I recognize that, yes. could I follow?
Yes.
So could you please tell us about the concept of court of record and how that fits into the justice court model?
Justice courts and municipal courts can be courts of record. They don't have to be courts of record, and as a matter of fact, most of them are not. It's an expense issue. All that a court of record does is allow you to appeal the matter directly from the JP court to the Court of Appeals on legal issues, not on factual issues. Otherwise, in a non-court of record, either a JP court, again, I think most of the JP courts are not courts of record. If you appeal the matter, you appeal it to circuit court, and it is tried de novo. In other words, from the beginning, there are no facts that are held over or judicial notice taken. And it's tried anew in circuit court. From there, it can be appealed, because circuit courts are courts of record, can be appealed to the appellate court on a legal issue, again, not a factual issue. It is much as a representative of the municipal courts, I get calls from time to time from either judges or city attorneys or even city councilors asking about being a court of record. And when I explain to them what they have to provide to be a court of record, the equipment, the clerk time, and that, they decide not to.
And could I?
Yes.
Is that because, is there a statutory standard to be a court of record? And that's
correct.
Okay. And
yes.
Then the JP court's charter, I suppose, would designate it as being, how does that play out?
They decide to be a court of record. They put in the requisite stuff. They file with state court administrator, with the Supreme Court, that they are a court of record at that point, and then they are. Most of the impetus to become a court of record comes from the city attorney or the district attorney who doesn't want to try cases twice, quite frankly. But it is it's very expensive, and all kinds of problems can go on with recording equipment and so on and so forth. So they when they do a financial analysis of it, many of them decide not to. Most decide not to.
Mr. Taylor.
Chair, members of the committee. Mr. Meyer, would you talk about what criminal cases justice courts take?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you, Counselor. Chair Barker, members of the committee. Justice of the Peace have concurrent jurisdiction on all criminal matters except felonies. They cannot handle felonies at the JP level. Some courts decide not to handle some misdemeanor cases, typically by agreement with the district attorney in the county in which they operate, because the district attorney wants to handle those such as domestic violence types of cases at the circuit court level, where they have more resources and better ways to handle that. Some JPs, if they're located close to the county seat, will allow almost all of the criminal matters, misdemeanors, to go to the circuit court for convenience sake. But JP court has concurrent jurisdiction on those matters with the circuit court. They do on all violation matters and traffic matters that are not felonies. Does that answer your question, Mr. Taylor?
Representative Langer.
Thank you. When I was a Clackamas County Commissioner, we supported creation of the Justice Court in Clackamas County, and I know that it's served a lot of people really well. One of the issues that came before us as we charted its progress over the couple of years was how the increasing docket, scope of docket, might affect its ability to be self-sufficient. I think I learned that landlord-tenant matters and small claims matters would eventually become part of that docket. I don't know if that was by necessity or choice, but as more things became encompassed by the jurisdiction of that court, the operating cost of the court would necessarily increase. Can you speak to how justice courts are doing around the state in terms of whether they're able to cover their costs, whether they break even, whether they net positive cash flow, negative? How does it look as a landscape?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barker, no, I cannot. I can tell you anecdotally that prior to the last session, several of the justice courts were considering going out of business. You need to understand that small claims and FEDs don't pay their way. The filing fees don't cover the cost of the court handling them. The counties will have the GP court handle those issues because it's justice expedited. They can get in, they can get them done, they can get those issues resolved before they become felony issues. But they don't pay their way. What does pay for the court, typically, are the traffic citations and some money that may be raised off of county ordinance violations, nuisance or violations and the like. That can pay the way, but as this committee is well aware, we've been in front of this committee a couple of times to make sure that the state wasn't taking too much out of the top to make it non-profitable or at least a break-even point for the local courts to be able to handle those and still perform the other functions that they elect to do to take the pressure off the circuit courts in that area. I do not know how across the board the JPs are doing, the JP courts. I can tell you that Marion County is looking to consolidate the three courts into one court. And whether that's a financial decision or a political decision or what, I couldn't tell you. Jackson County almost lost their JP court last session. I think it's held on. Lane County had three courts at one point for financial reasons. They ended up getting rid of two of their courts and probably will get rid of the one in Florence as soon as the judge's term expires. That's what I've been told. They may revisit that. Because it is a problem in Lane County for a sheriff who cites somebody in Florence to drive over to Eugene to prosecute the case. Likewise in Oak Ridge, where one of the other JP courts was. But the counties make those decisions, and sometimes they're economically driven, sometimes they're driven by other reasons. I think the court in Clackamas County has served, from what I hear, has served the community well, has served the police in that area well, and was a good addition to the judicial system in Clackamas County.
Chair, members of the committee, as long as I've been here, there's been tension between the state court system and municipal and justice of the peace court system, basically over revenue issues. I know the judicial department has been hammered from time to time in Ways and Means Committee over revenue being generated out of traffic cases, et cetera. And I think that's one of the reasons when the courts of the state took over the system in 83, there was a limitation on circuit justice of the peace courts and municipal courts being in the same city where the circuit court was. And I know they grandfathered some of them in, but ever since then there's been tension. There was tension when Clackamas County opened up its court too over the same issue.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. David Corsi, please. And please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. My name is David Corsi. I live in Josephine County, and I am a member of the Citizens Committee in Josephine County, known as SOS, or Securing Our Safety. Our focus, and I'm the subcommittee chair of the Justice of the Peace Committee and another committee not relevant here today. Our focus, the SOS focus, is to try to raise revenue for the county. I'm not sure how widespread the knowledge is of our problems in Josephine County, but they are legion. We have a serious public safety issue. It stems in part from a low tax base. Efforts to raise that over the years, I've only been there 8 years, but three successive efforts to raise the tax base have failed at the ballot. We have another one coming up in May. Hopefully it'll be more successful. At the moment, in a public safety capacity, our jail, which is a substantial jail of 250 beds, is operating at about 30% of capacity. We've had a temporary infusion from a gift, if you would, from the city of Grants Pass in the amount of $1 million to free up 30 additional beds. Prior to that, we were turning away criminals on a regular basis. We are still turning them away if they don't get caught in the city. Sort of a perverse, amusing circumstance in the last couple of weeks. We had a criminal arrested in the county by the state patrol, because that's basically all we have in the county right now. We have one sheriff's deputy who works 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, and that's it. In the county. So the state patrol arrested a criminal on a felony charge, brought him to the jail, and he was turned away because there were no beds that were available. Fortunately, he was stupid enough to commit a crime in the city within hours, and the city was able to arrest him and put him in one of their beds. So even though he couldn't be apprehended in the county, he was later apprehended. But that's only one of the many stories. Crime is running rampant in the county, and there's nothing that can be done at the moment. Similarly, we have a juvenile justice facility that is completely closed. Some years back, it was considered to be a state-of-the-art facility, but there's no money to run it, so it's closed in its entirety. Our animal control functions are down to a bare minimum. There is another ballot measure on the May ballot to attempt to fund it. We'll see if it passes as well. Our library is functioning only on contributions from citizens. It is not funded at all. So we are in dire straits, as I said, from a public safety and public service perspective. And in that capacity, we explored the potential for a justice court. Historically, the county actually passed an ordinance in 1990 creating such a court, but in accord with the statute at the time, the court could not be located within the city of Grants Pass, since it is both the county seat and the site of the local circuit court. The difficulty for Josephine County is that roughly 60% of the population lives with either within the city or 10 miles within it. And therefore, if you locate a justice court outside of the city, you have a problem in terms of whether it actually serves the people, number one. And number two, we would have to get the cooperation of the city to cite to the justice court, since we have no sheriff's deputies who at the moment can cite to the justice court. And the city has said that it is not willing to force its citizens to have to drive way out of town to get justice when the circuit court is in town. So in the context of that sort of perfect storm, Josephine County is seeking to get relief from the statutory prohibition that would not allow us to locate within the city of Grants Pass, because if we're going to get a successful justice court and want to accomplish judicial justice for its citizens and potentially increase the revenue of the county, we would need to locate within the city. This is especially true since there are no sheriff's deputies to speak of. Currently, the city police, through the current circuit court, depending on the view you want to look at it, when the jail was fully functional, the city received nearly $260,000 a year in fine revenue. conceivably, if we had a justice court, the county could start with that as a reasonable expectation. And then to the extent we ever get deputies, and I might add that our May ballot measure, which is aimed exclusively at funding the jail to capacity, will have the side effect of freeing up deputies, because once the deputies who do manage the jail now are freed up, because the funding would come from another source, that will put some money, will make money available for the sheriff to get some deputies out in the field, and hopefully that will help with the funding issues. But again, the ballot is an iffy thing. So our purpose, as I said, is to see if we can get a court in the corporate limits of Grants Pass to service both the city police and whatever sheriff's issues we can generate with current staffing or whatever additional staffing we get. But we can't do that with the statute being the way it is. It was quoted before. It's ORS 51.020. Prohibits, as I've indicated and others have indicated, the location within the county seat or circuit court location. There are 8 counties that have an exception to that, and I can list them. I have them. It's in the statute. We'd either like to be number 9, or we'd like to see that prohibition completely removed so that counties and county commissions can determine where and how many of these courts they think will best serve their populace. That's basically it. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Any questions? I just would share your concern. I mean, I'm from up in the Portland area, and I have voted continuously for enhanced sheriff patrol and so on, and I pay a lot of taxes up there, but I appreciate having the law enforcement up there, and I'm concerned about Southwest Oregon not having not only your taxes, but not having the natural resources being used to generate more funds down there. I'm worried about this, a huge portion of the state being essentially lawless. That's not good for anybody. And I appreciate your efforts.
Mr. Chair, on that count, it's my understanding that 80% of the county of Josephine belongs to the federal government.
Chair, we had the public safety summit in Curry County, and people from your county were over there. The two counties are really in bad shape now, Josephine and Curry, but over the next 4 or 5 years, it's going to get worse for some of these other counties too. And we had the summit and we talked, but when it gets all said and done, unless you can have some large tax increases, the only other option is for there to be some, I would call it conservative management of our natural resources that can produce revenue for public safety, schools, senior programs, you name it. the veteran service officers are hanging on by a thread in some of these counties, and we're not supporting them as much as we should. But the rural areas where there is no opportunity, it is extremely difficult. I've got part of Josephine County now, and Representative Hicks, if I've been down to Cave Junction, I've got to go back over there again and talk to their Rotary. And we don't have answers, even though we've been working on this for 6 or 7 years, that this building has known. They've had 2 task force groups, they've had 2 legislative committees, and we keep stirring this thing, but nothing comes out of it because there is no option without dollars. And we're eventually going to have to deal with it. The bill we did pass, what was it, 3453 is an 18-month-at-a-time option. Not certain that the governor wants to declare a public safety emergency, but if it gets much worse than Josephine and Curry County, that may happen.
I really appreciate your noting the issue of the prohibition against citing justice courts in the county seat when it's in city limits, because as you outlined really effectively, the very role of a justice court in Josephine County, it sounds like, is made more difficult, even though it's a really valuable thing, by virtue of that citing prohibition. So I recall people discussing that issue, though they worked around it in Clackamas, but it's a hard issue, and I would love to talk to you more about whether there's something that we can do to facilitate the great work of justice courts that would help deal with whatever the reason is that we had that rule in the first place, but harmonize it with making justice courts be as effective as they can be for our communities. So thank you.
Thank you. I'd be happy to work with you at any time. One more comment to Representative Krieger. Our committee, which is a citizens committee, has developed several initiatives. I don't know if they'll all be successful or if any of them will be successful, but they do include a subcommittee working on natural resources, one separate subcommittee on mineral resources, because Josephine County appears to be rich in minerals, and in some cases what I'm told are exotic minerals, and I'm not quite sure I'm prepared to speak on what an exotic mineral is, but they tell me they're exotic minerals. We have a separate committee on timber resources, and you're quite right. I mean, as I said, 80% of our county belongs to Uncle Sam. We have a separate committee on lottery funds, which is sponsoring an initiative to allow the counties to have a greater say in the distribution of lottery funds. And we have several other committees, aside from Justice of the Peace. I'm on the County Lands Reuse Committee to try to see if we can make better use of county lands, particularly those lands that the county has taken over decades in foreclosure activities because of the failure to pay taxes. We recognize the need for more revenue. Again, the perfect storm for Josephine County is an extremely high unemployment rate and an extremely low economic base. You couple that with what's happening in the economy at large, and we're almost powerless to do a whole lot about anything.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Any further coming for the committee today? We'll adjourn, but we will try to have this early in the 15 session so that the new panel, the slightly changed panel, will be able to have this information before we start the regular session. Thank you again. Committee, we're adjourned. Thank you for your attendance today.